Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
In the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, it's kind of appropriate that we're in the book of Acts after sharing that with you, but it was good to have Candace and her husband come fellowship with us, and just a wonderful time together. But in the fourth chapter, the book of Acts, I want to read beginning with the eighth verse, and then I'll share with you some of the background, and share with you what I think is of the importance. If you remember last week's message, I encourage you to do a few things and to remember the power of God and your responsibility and to stand up and be faithful watchmen on the wall. Does anyone remember that message? Good, because I've already forgotten it. But seriously, that whole theme kind of has been pressing on my heart all week long, and I've listened to some messages on the radio as I'm driving around and such, and I came across this one, and the guy was talking about progressiveness and communism and socialism and those kinds of things that are methods of governing that reduce the amount of freedoms that people have and that are really basically in opposition to what this country was standing on it and created under the Constitution, which give every man equality and freedom. And so those things work against those freedoms that we possess in the Constitution, of course, which has been written for our benefit to establish what our laws and our freedoms are, and to put restrictions on the government so that it can't do certain things without just cause or whatever. At any rate, I'm listening to this guy, and he's talking about communist movements around the world over the years, or socialist movements. And when they come to power, the Marxists, when they came to power, what they would do is go into the schools, and naturally you would think they'd start teaching Marxism. But that's not what they do. When they take over a country, they start teaching them evolution. And the reason they teach them evolution is because evolution does away with God. And so if they can get God out of the culture or the society, they'll have less opposition to their leadership and their form of government. I thought that was pretty interesting. And one of the other things that they try to do is forbid the name of Jesus Christ being used anywhere in a public setting or a public arena. And I thought, that's very interesting. And so it prompted me to kind of go down this road this morning. And I hope you're with me a little bit, because I want the Holy Spirit to minister to you. But let me read these verses for you so you'll catch the context of what I think the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. And maybe it's more of a shaking of us, a making us aware, making us awake. Maybe it's the following the theme of being a good watchman on the wall that we want to be, to make sure that we're all in tune with what God wants for our lives. Amen? Verse 8, chapter 4, book of Acts. Then Peter, listen to this, I like this. And if there's anybody here this morning filled with the Holy Ghost, you may want to start shouting when I start reading that. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, and I'll explain part of this in just a moment, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." Man, I think you ought to give God a hand for that, amen? Praise the Lord. What a testimony. Verse 11, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Man, that's just, that is, That is shouting and running material, if you don't mind me just kind of being a fool up here this morning. Because that is the stuff that your salvation is made of. That is the stuff that your transformed life is quickened by. That is the stuff that the Holy Spirit anoints. And anoints anything that has to do with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let me tell you the context of this situation. They were going up to church on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. Not Saturday, because it got to be where the folks at church on Saturday didn't kind of want to worship with the Christian believers that were still going to church in the Jewish church. And so that pressure was growing, and they were feeling the pressure to ostracize them and get them out of their midst, because they didn't, of course, accept the Messiah or believe in Jesus Christ. And so they started going to church down there on Monday or on Sunday, the first day of the week. And so they're going to church, and Peter's there, and they're going up the steps, and there's an impotent man there. They place him there all the time so that he can beg alms for his livelihood. And so he wants a little bit of money, shakes his little thing at him, and they say, "Hey, man, silver and gold, I don't have any. But such as I have." Now that's what gives us the power to shout and run. What do you have this morning? "Such as I have, give I unto thee, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man instantly rose up and walked. This became such an awesome evidence to the people that the power of Jesus Christ did not cease when Jesus was buried in the tomb, but that when he was resurrected, that power was handed to the church so that the church could continue to do the ministry that Jesus Christ had already been doing. And so that in the name of Jesus Christ, all things can be done. Don't you like that? I think that's awesome. And somebody better shout this morning, or I'm just going to be screaming up here. And I'm thinking about the context of that, and the people start gathering around, and they're excited about what has happened, because they saw this man. Every time they went to the temple, they saw this man laying there begging alms. And I don't know about you, but I got tired of driving down the streets of Yakima and having these guys with these signs begging alms. Anybody with me? Amen. And so this guy has a tremendous miracle take place, and people gather around because they see this one wonderful thing that has taken place, and they're acknowledging that this has been a great miracle and that has happened. And all the people, the common people like you and I, we recognize only God can heal a man that's been lame all this time. And so what do? They gather old Peter up, and they take him before the high priest. And what is it that the high priest does? I'm going to paraphrase this for you, obviously. The high priest begins to examine them and commands them to stop teaching and preaching, and especially stop doing these miracles in the name of Jesus. And what we don't often realize is we just see it as a news blip or a thing shooting across the sky like a meteorite, because we don't often pay a whole lot of attention to what's happening. But slowly but surely in this land, in this land established on Judeo-Christian principles, with the acknowledgement that God is God and that Jesus Christ is his only begotten Son, fully man and fully God, and that the Holy Spirit is the active agent working in our midst to bring about the glorification of the name of Jesus Christ and offer salvation to all men who would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this land, we don't often see it, hear about it, or even recognize it very much. But systematically and consistently, the progressives, those who don't want to acknowledge God, because if you acknowledge God, you've got to recognize, you've got to live up to his standard. And if I don't want to live up to his standard, what do I want to do? I want to be an atheist so I don't have to acknowledge him, so I can do whatever I want to do. That has to do with personal living. It also has to do with social living. It also has to do with government. And so since the time of the apostles, men have been trying to stamp out the name of Jesus Christ. Stop using the name of Jesus Christ. There are efforts that have already gone on to destroy all symbols of Christianity. Interesting thing happened down in San Diego. A friend of mine is a pastor down there, and there was a great big white cross. And, of course, it offended someone, who knows who it was, claimed to be an atheist, and so it was on what was considered public land. And just like all the other times you've heard about this blip in the news, where somebody was offended and wanted that cross taken down. It shouldn't be in a public display. It has to do with the cross and Jesus Christ, and that might offend somebody. I just pray that it does offend a few folks. You know what I'm saying? I really don't care if you get offended. If you get offended because we mentioned the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can just be offended because I don't care. But this, yeah, praise the Lord. This is what happened. So they sued the ACLU guys, whatever they are, the commie lawyers. Anyway, they sued to have that cross taken down. And what happened was a man owned property. It was along a freeway. He owned property. He donated it to the people who had erected that. I think it had to do with the military. Had erected that cross. And so they moved that cross from where it was onto his property, which brought it closer to the freeway and was broader and bigger as ever before. So you got to give God a hand for that one. Amen. But it just goes to tell you what is happening to our culture, our American culture. It's happening all over the world, but it's happening in our culture. Today in the military, if a chaplain prays, he cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He can pray a prayer about God. He can pray a wonderful thing that has to do with what God can do and all the blessings that God can give to you and all those kinds of things. You can even talk about salvation as long as you do not mention the name of Jesus Christ. Because other world religions believe in a form of salvation, so that's not going to be offensive to a Muslim, a Buddhist, or anyone. They all have some kind of a belief in an afterlife and an after experience. But when you attach the name of Jesus Christ, you are declaring that no man can be saved by any other name, and that Jesus Christ is above all names, and that he is the only true Son of the living God. No, by the way, that's not given to us because I have great knowledge. That's given to us by revelation of Jesus Christ. In fact, he told Peter, hey, Peter, flesh and blood hasn't given this to you. You've learned this from the Father. He's shown this to you. And if you know and love Jesus Christ this morning, you know as well as I do that he is an awesome and wonderful Savior and that he loves you. And in fact, it is in the name of Jesus that the whole world that has been in opposition has actually eventually crumbled. The Roman Empire lasted 2,000 years. It still crumbled and was transformed into the Holy Roman Empire because of the influence of the name of Jesus Christ. Am I making sense? So every nation that opposes Jesus Christ will crumble. It will fall. It will falter. And one day Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David and rule the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've often wondered, why is it that people want to get rid of the name of Jesus in a public setting? Why is it that the one person who can solve any human being's problem, who can take care of addictions, can take care of family problems, that can take care of personal problems of any kind, why is it that we want to relegate him to insignificance when so many people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ have found complete transformation and a new birth into their spirit? Why is that so awful and why is that so evil for a society? What happens to men that have become Christians? Well, they start living up to being good citizens. They obey the laws. Hello. And they do what the leaders tell them to do and so forth. And so my question is, why do you want to get rid of the name of Jesus? Because it's in the name of Jesus that the lame man walks. It's in the name of Jesus that the blind man sees. It's in the name of Jesus that the deaf man hears. It's in the name of Jesus that the leper is cleansed. It's in the name of Jesus that our sick children are healed. It's in the name of Jesus the dead come back to life. It's in the name of Jesus that demons are cast out of people and they're absolutely delivered. It's in the name of Jesus that the dumb begin to speak. Why do we want to hinder the name of Jesus and the power that is therein? I can't understand it. It blows my mind. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that adulteresses are forgiven. Thieves are forgiven and offered paradise while hanging beside Christ on a cross. Murderers are changed into preachers. Bound people are loosed. Chained people are delivered. Sinners are forgiven and given new life. Brokenhearted are comforted. Wounded are bandaged and healed. And the issue of blood is ceased by the name of Jesus Christ. As for me and my house, we will serve Jesus Christ and no other God before him. It's in his name all things are done. It's in His name you are blessed this morning. It's in His name that worship went forth. And it's in His name that Jesus Christ receives that glory this morning. I tell you what, it's an awesome thing to be a Christian. Do you know Him? Do you know Him that well? What is it that is driving you in your worship to Jesus Christ? What is it that calls you to a higher calling? What is it that demands more of us than we even believe we can give? It's the name of Jesus Christ and what it symbolizes and stands for. Here's the thing. This is what I think, and you can disagree with me if you want. But this is what I firmly believe, because I can't understand why you would want to diminish or eliminate the name of Jesus from our public arena. I don't understand it, but I'm going to give you three reasons that I think that it happens. First of all, I think that they want to do away with the name of Jesus Christ because they can't control it. They can't control Christians. They can't control Christ. They can't stop the things that God wants to do through the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when a person is born again and transformed by the power of God, and they're renewed in their mind, renewed in their thinking, renewed in their motivations, renewed in their incentives and everything about them, and their will is even changed toward obeying God, they're too independent. They're too free to control. In fact, in this very context of this scripture, when the high priests and all of the Sanhedrin and the other scribes and Pharisees got together and demanded that they stop preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, and by all means stop working miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. When they did that, when they tried to force that, all it did was set the church on fire. Do you realize what's happening to us today culturally? Culturally, Jesus Christ is being relegated to insignificance. And you know what's going to happen when you try to ruin or try to destroy the name of Jesus Christ? You're going to cause God's people to rise up and unify. And you're going to cause them to stand for Jesus Christ in arenas and places where you would never think there would be an opportunity to stand for Jesus Christ. You're going to find yourself in a place where you are going to be the one called upon by God. And therefore, you need the anointing of this Holy Ghost Peter was talking about. You need that anointing so that you will have words flow out of your mouth. And from the belly of your person will flow rivers of living water as you stand in a public setting and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a time where Jesus is beginning to demand that we be more than pew sitters. He's demanding that we be more than just church attenders. He's demanding that we become vocal about our faith. And not only that, that we begin to stand for what righteousness is symbolized in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to stand for something. We want to stand for what's right, not just against something. Am I making sense? Jesus is stirring people, not just in this church, but other churches all around the nation. He's stirring people. They're recognizing, listen, they're trying to do away with the name of Jesus Christ. We can't say public prayers anywhere in the name of Jesus Christ. And hey, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to make the church mad. And the church is going to stand up. Every time in history, when persecution struck the church, it caused the church to buck its back and get mad and start standing up for Christ. And then try to stop the church. The church then begins to take over the whole empire and takes over the whole Roman Empire, and they had to change the name to the Holy Roman Empire. I don't know how holy it was when you made it a state religion. I think you kind of diluted the message there even, and that may have been a trick of the enemy. But don't you find it interesting that nations that oppose Jesus Christ eventually come to nothing? Why? There's power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power to deliver. Power to make things right. Power to make righteousness reign. There's power in the name of Jesus to initiate your involvement in doing what's right. They can't control you. Do you understand that? They cannot control the name of Jesus Christ. Because as sure as you try to stop a Christian from praying or speaking in the name of Jesus Christ, you are only going to fan a flame that's going to liberate him to just preach a message of freedom through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And you cannot control that. And what they can't control controls them. Isn't that awesome? Praise the name of the Lord. Second thing, I think, they can't duplicate it. Well, they try to duplicate it. They try to make you think that they can do these things. And believe me, I'm a firm believer in doctors. I'm a firm believer in medical science and research and all that. I think it's awesome. I think God has been a great part of that. But when that becomes our only source and that becomes our only focus, that the doctors and the doctors alone are our only hope, I think we're missing it. I think we're missing it. And nobody can duplicate what Jesus Christ can do. Amen? There's not a doctor alive that will honestly tell you that they raise people from the dead. There's not an honest doctor alive that'll tell you that they heal people. No, they work on you like a mechanic works on a car, but it is God's power that heals you and the things that God has set forth in your body. You follow me? And so they can't duplicate that. They can't make the lame walk by just claiming it in the name of the United States, rise up and walk. It won't happen. But in the name of Jesus Christ, it can happen. Am I making any sense? Still with me? When you can't control it and then you can't duplicate it, you can't overcome it. Because once Jesus Christ starts doing what Jesus Christ can do, there's nobody that can duplicate that, and there's not a nation alive on this planet that can stop him. That can stop him. I keep referring to this and probably make Steve mad by this point. I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer to this whole problem we have in this world is Jesus Christ. And we were discussing politics and all kinds of things like we do. We on Saturday mornings, we solve every world problem there is. It just doesn't go any further than our men's meeting. But we were talking about these things, and Steve said this. He's getting more and more vocal. I like that. But for a long time, Steve don't say a whole lot. But believe me, when he does speak, he has something to say, that kind of thing. And when he said that, he just said it. I think it was one of those Peter epiphany things. I know it's so simple. You know, Jesus is the answer. That sounds so simple, but I think it's kind of like, all of a sudden it dawns on us. Hey, you're right. The answer for all of this is Jesus Christ. Don't worry about it. Jesus Christ is the answer. And so I'm convinced that if you can't control it, you can't duplicate it. I think they're frustrated with it, so they try to eliminate it from our public mind and our public thinking. And so that if they can eliminate God, then we have no hope. We have no hope of now or the future. We have no hope in eternity. And here's the thing that I think is most disturbing to those who, and in just a moment I'm going to show you a video that illustrates exactly what I'm talking about. And by the way, during this video, if you at any point feel like jumping up and shouting and saying yes, you feel free to do that. Y'all look at me like I'm a complete and total idiot. Okay, Pastor. Here's the reason, the third reason, and the one reason I think that disturbs them the most. Because religious leaders, political leaders, and those that aren't leaders of anything but just living ungodly, those kind of people are frustrated because it can't stop us. You cannot stop Christianity. You cannot stop Christians. Oh, you may be able to behead them. You may be able to kill them in whatever manner you want to, get rid of them, throw them in prison, do whatever you want to Christians. But I read in the New Testament where all these guys still rose up and God made them martyrs for the glory of God. And I don't necessarily want to be a martyr, and I'm not encouraging you to be one, but I'm going to tell you something. The enemy is going to try to stop us, but he can't stop us. There's nothing he can do that can stop the name of Jesus Christ. It is the one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And once you're saved, I'm going to tell you what, nobody can take that out of your hands. Nobody can take that Savior from you. And that power that comes with his name will help you live strong and overcome those who oppose you as a Christian. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? That those that want to stop us, want to cause us to quit, want to intimidate us and cause us to no longer want to be active in our faith for Jesus Christ, there doesn't seem to be any future in it. Trust me, there's only a future in Jesus Christ. There's no future anywhere else. This is where the future lies, in Jesus Christ. And if you think by any other means you're going to be saved or get God's approval, you're not going to do it, because Jesus is the only means whereby we can know the Father. No man comes to the Father except by Him, by Jesus Christ. And it's our confidence and our trust in Him that overcomes those who seem to be so well organized and those so well funded to come against Christianity, to get us wiped out of the way and make us insignificant. I'm going to tell you what, it only took 12 disciples to turn the Middle East upside down. Upside down. Are you following me? It don't take a whole lot of Christians to turn the a country upside down. And I'm thinking, if I know God very well at all, I'm thinking that He has some things in mind. He has something planned. There's something going on. We wouldn't be struggling on an individual basis periodically. We wouldn't be struggling as a church periodically. Wouldn't be struggling in any way, any shape, or any form if God did not have a plan for us. Do you ever know what training is about in the military? It gets you ready for battle. What do you think you're going through, folks? What do you think you've been experiencing? I know you thought it was the boss firing you, and I know you thought it was outside force that's causing these things to happen to you. No, God's got you in training, whether you like it or not, and I don't like some of the things God puts me through. But I know it's training because God has something in mind. He does not take us to this point without having some purpose in mind. I have an idea, but I don't know fully what it is that God has in mind for us. But I want to touch the world more than with this lizard out here that we have, this statue we had that went around the world. I want to touch Him with the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that men and women come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. That's my agenda. My agenda is to have a church where people know how to win souls for Jesus Christ. Where they trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when they speak in His name, the power of heaven will be behind your words. Are you with me? So that when you speak the name of Jesus, the lame begin to walk. And you have substance to give to a lame man out on the doorsteps of the church. God has been training you. He's been building you. He's been getting you ready for some great thing, and I don't know exactly what all it is, but I contend that if they make us mad enough, we're going to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, good, bad, or ugly, but we're going to do it, and Jesus Christ is going to back us up. Here's the interesting thing, and the reason that I mentioned this young lady and her husband that came to visit us is because in that day, I believed Jesus Christ could do anything. By the way, I still believe that. I haven't changed my mind. But in those days, I did things that were pretty stupid, but I did them anyway, that were not tactful, they were not sensitive. And you know what? Sometimes I get to the point, I don't care about sensitive. I just get tired of people being so sensitive that you can't share the hope of Christ with them, hope of eternal life. If you're so stinking sensitive, change the channel. Get out of here. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to come listen to me. Change the channel. But I'm convinced that same power is alive today and well. And one of the things that gave me, I used to preach on the rally courts and all of that. And I still do crazy things. You're just not there to see it. But sometimes I tell you about it, but sometimes I don't. But here's the one thing that motivated me, and this should be motivating you. I believe that when I shared Jesus Christ, He was going to save them. I'd go downtown on Friday and Saturday nights in Reno, and I don't know if you've ever been to Reno, but Reno used to be the biggest little city in the world, and it never closed down. I only saw the city of Reno close down one time, and it was for one day. And that's when the floodwaters come from the Truckee River, which goes right through the middle of town. The floodwaters had reached its peak and was coming over the banks, and they were sandbagging to keep it from going down the street and into the casinos. And so they closed downtown. They didn't want anybody there because it's too dangerous for one day. The water started receding, and man, they opened it up and let them back into the casino. But I would go down on Friday and Saturday night, down on the street, and meet all these kids down there on the street, and I start telling them about Jesus Christ. And here was the kicker. I knew that if I shared Christ, that the Holy Spirit and God, Jesus Christ, they'd all back me up in what I was saying. And so I tell them, look, God can change your life. He can get you out of these drugs. He can get you out of this lifestyle. He can give you a brand new life. You'll be a brand new person, I promise you, if you just trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I can't tell you how many of them did. Droves, dozens did it. Except poor old Sister Saunders, bless her heart, come Friday and Saturday night, she'd go to bed with her robe right close by so that when the door knock came, she could get up at whatever hour and open up the doors and I'd bring these kids in. I'm serious, at 1, 2 in the morning, It took me a while to talk him into it on the streets of Reno. And then I'd get him in the car, and we'd go over to Sister Saunders' house, and she'd be ready. And she'd sit down, and she'd start teaching about salvation. And she'd brew up some tea and put tang in it, make it taste orangey. She'd be teaching, and then she'd say, "Well, I think we should all pray. You all want to receive Jesus Christ?" "Yes, we do." And we'd begin to pray, and the Holy Spirit would come down that room, and these kids would just be on the floor, praising God, Jesus Christ, speaking in tongues, and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And her husband, who was not a Christian, would get up out of bed because he had to go to work like about 5 o'clock in the morning, and he'd come stepping over the bodies of these kids to get to the kitchen to get his coffee so his eyes would be open. And he was just very kind and generous to allow us to do that. But that was the one thing that proved true. I believe that when I spoke in Jesus' name, nobody could stop it. Nobody could duplicate it. Nobody could control it. Only Jesus Christ. And he would back up the words that I would tell people. I'm still believing that. I still believe that whatever God's doing in your heart this morning is to prepare you for the move of God through you, and to bring you to the place where you trust the name of Jesus Christ and would be bold enough under the leadership of the Holy Ghost to stand up publicly and proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ. No other name. The name of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced this morning that God is calling us. Calling us as never before, as we've never seen in our nation. A time when we not only need revival, we need a vast, massive revival, where hearts would be turned back to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are hundreds and thousands of people who have known Jesus Christ and have turned their back on him and rejected him. Those will come to the Lord Jesus Christ, come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there'll be those who don't even know about Jesus Christ in our own country, even though we got it on televisions and billboards and everywhere else, don't even know who Jesus is. For the first time, come to know the Lord. And then guess what I think is going to happen? I think the trumpet's going to sound, and Jesus Christ is going to step out on a cloud, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and you and I, if we're alive and remaining, we will be caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, give me another name that promises that. Amen? There's no other name that promises that, and we believe in him. Praise the name of the Lord. I've got to bring this to a close, don't I? I want to show you this video. I believe that the enemy is going to try to overcome us, try to distract us, try to marginalize us, try to silence us. And I think outreach is going to explode. I think thousands will turn to Christ. I think Christians will finally begin to unite and be the church that God intended them to be. I believe those who are for Christ will begin to say so in whatever arena. Let me give you this before I show you the video to close on. Take this away with you this morning. If not me, who? If not now, when? If not in the name of Jesus, what other name has that power? The power to deliver, the power to comfort, the power to heal, the power to restore, the power to save. No other name has that power. If not Jesus, who? There is none. I want to set this up for you because I think this is shout material. Get ready, because I think this is awesome. Set this up for you a little bit. It's a little slow at first because he's kind of explaining what went on. And maybe some of you have seen this. If you have, just keep your mouth shut until shouting time comes. But this is a young preacher that went to Washington, D.C. to a secular gathering and was asked to pray. Go ahead and fire that up, Jeremy. Awesome. Praise the Lord. That was awesome. God is good, isn't he? That's the same Jesus you serve this morning. The same Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, forever. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we love you this morning. We shout from our hearts how much we love you and bless your holy name today. You are the mighty King of glory. You are the Prince of Peace, just the bright and morning star. You are the one who has done all things for us. And in you, we have great hope. Hope of not only good life here, but great life in eternity. As we know who Jesus is. He is our Lord and our Redeemer. And we bless you this morning for that. Amen and amen. Why don't you do something awesome this morning? Maranatha, Jesus cometh. Amen. Shake hands, be friendly. Tell each other, hey, it's going to be good to see you in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.